Boom, what up? Hello, bonjour, and hola, real leaders. This is Kevin Edwards, your host here, and I am so excited you're tuning in to one of our amazing experiences. What you're about to hear is going to be fresh, real, and loaded with inspiration, guaranteed to support your impact journey. So sit back, enjoy the listen, folks, share a review afterward, and always keep it real. 4, 3, 2, and 1. Welcome, everyone, to this episode of the Real Leaders Podcast. I am your host, Kevin Edwards, and alongside me today, folks, we've got the founder CEO of Sprout World. Please give a warm welcome to Mr. Michael Stausholm. Michael, thanks for joining the show today.
Thank you for having me.
Of course, of course. And for those out there that are unfamiliar with the great work that Sprout World is doing, could you just give them a quick little background into how this journey came to be?
Of course. Sprout World is built on a patented pencil that you can plant after use. It's actually a very simple idea of a normal pencil that has a, instead of an eraser at the top, it has a seed capsule. So the idea is that you write with your pencil the way you normally would. Once you have a stop left, you plant the stop. The first time you water, the green capsule will dissolve and out will come the seeds. And then you take care of it like any other plant. In this case, it's a spruce tree. So you'll be growing your own Christmas trees. And the idea, of course, is to show people what sustainability is all about. The thing that you have products, you use them for what they're supposed to, and instead of throwing them out when you're done, you literally give the product a new life, a second life, by planting it, growing it, getting beautiful trees or basil or forget-me-not flowers. So that's basically the idea. It originated at MIT. Massachusetts in Boston. It was three young students that came up with the idea back in 2012. I saw the idea on Kickstarter.com and thought it was a great idea because at that time, like today, everyone was talking about sustainability, but no one could really put words to it. So I thought it was a great explainer. And I made a deal with the young people and acquired eventually the patent and all the rights and built what is today a Sprout World since 10 years.
It's very impressive. And what a great message that it kind of brings along with each pencil is that this idea, you know, an idea that some college students had, a very simple way to replenish where these pencils maybe originally came from. So tell me a little bit more about maybe your sustainability journey. Like, were you into this space beforehand coming from Denmark? I mean, were you surrounded by this? Like, what actually kind of started your impact journey?
Actually, it started back in the early 90s. I was working in shipping and I was being sent to Asia to work in shipping and logistics. And after a few years, I got bored with that and I transferred to the clothing and garment business. And I went to see a lot of different factories all over Asia. And the conditions were just horrible, really, really bad conditions for the workers and everything. But then came this was around 96, 97, came Walmart, Nike, and a few other American companies and started to make demands on the factories to have better working conditions, to treat the workers better and so on. And I saw that for very little extra cost, you were able to not only improve the conditions of the workers, but you actually improved the efficiency as well. Because when people are treated well, they also do better work, just like today. So when I came back to Denmark in 2006-07, I was starting to hear more about sustainability. The thing, not about the working conditions only, but also what kind of materials you're using to make products, to try and make more natural products, not just plastic or artificial stuff. And so I got very much into being interested in sustainability. I was doing a lot of speaking, a lot of workshops, talking to companies. But the main thing back then was that everyone was talking about it, like I said before, but very few people could really put words to what sustainability was all about. And that's why when the idea from these young students came along, it was like an epiphany, a great way to illustrate and to show people what it's all about.
Right. And I think it was, I don't know if it was Benjamin Franklin's quote here in the United States, was, you know, no legacy has been built on just words, right? It's always built on action. And there certainly is a lot of that going around, right? Like, it's the intent is there, but where is the action, and what is the gap you need to close to solve that action? So kind of, you know, maybe break down, you get the patent here from the students at MIT, but, you know, just because you have the idea, you still have to have rubber meet the road. Tell me a little bit more about the initial journey in getting this commercialized.
That's a great point, because having a great idea or even a great product makes no difference if you don't act on it, and if you don't actually have some commercial background and sense. And that was the difference between myself and the young students. They were engineers, so they were amazing at inventing products and getting that stuff done. But my background is commercial. So when I saw the product, initially, it was an explainer for me. It was a way to teach kids, I thought, how sustainability worked. But very quickly, and this was back 10 years ago, it turned out that retailers thought it was a great product, a great gift. So immediately I thought, okay, this is going to be a hit with retailers all over the world, when we launched in Denmark initially in 2013. But very, very quickly, the idea was, the story of the Sprout Pencil was spreading all over, especially Europe, but also USA. And it turned out that companies, corporate companies, saw a much bigger potential in the product than I did, because they saw a way to communicate their sustainable messages. So, like, for instance, IKEA, the huge furniture retailer, they saw a possibility to communicate what they were doing using our Sprout pencils, getting a message engraved or printed on the pencil. So actually, and still today, about 75% of our sales is to companies. We are selling to Bank of America. We are selling to Porsche, the car brand, insurance companies, NGOs, governments, and so on. Because the biggest challenge with sustainability today is how to communicate what you're doing. A lot of companies are doing great in sustainability, but they don't know how to communicate it. And if you don't communicate, no one gets inspired by what you're doing, and they can't, they won't do the same.
Mm-hmm. And from your own experience in communicating the impact to, let's just talk internally first, where have you really seen the impact in your team? Like, are you kind of recruiting values aligned individuals? Are your employees more engaged? And maybe how do you communicate the impact internally, and where have you maybe experienced some of the benefits there?
I think it makes a big difference if you are in the business of doing good. Sprout World, for instance, is a B Corp member. And so it's all about not being the best in the world, but the best for the world. And that alone is a great recruitment tool, because unlike working for a large corporation where you don't see the difference you make in your daily work life, being a part of a smaller company, we are around 40 employees, people see every day what a difference they make. because of the feedback we get from customers, because of the PR mentions we get, and so on. And it's just, I think, so much more fulfilling than just importing plastic toys from China and selling that to large retail.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and just out of curiosity, like, you know, for, you know, obviously Sprout World is a 2024 Real Leaders Impact Award winner. We ask about your intent, the enlarged problem you're tackling, the innovative model, which you clearly have demonstrated in the pencil, the people orientation side, those people metrics, productivity, recruitment. And then the A is accountability. We're always asking companies about standards or their metrics. You just mentioned this, the B Corp certification. Is there a specific impact metric, dare I say, that you look at to kind of measure your impact, or do you just see that through the sales growth?
You see it through the sales, of course, because if it didn't make any sense what you were doing, you wouldn't be selling anything. And if we weren't selling, we couldn't do the other stuff we are doing. But I think accountability is really important today, because a lot of, I'm sorry to say, but a lot of companies are, it's a lot of talk. There's a lot of issues with greenwashing, undocumented claims. So to me, what's very important, we sort of, when we talk about the impact we do, we have two ways. One way is what we call the hygiene stuff, which means it's the B Corp certification. It's the fact that our makeup pencil line is allergy certified. We make transparency sustainability reports every year. We own our own forest because we use wood to make pencils. So for us, it's really important that we give back more than we take. So it's all about having your house in order with all the certifications and reports we do. But at the same time, and that's very important to us, is the actions we take. For instance, like I said, we have our own forest. We have a couple of hectares of land so far, which was not being used. Now we planted so far around 1,500 trees there. Those trees are never going to be used for any commercial use. They're just going to grow for the next 40, 50 years to absorb CO2. But they will never be used to make pencils. It'll be a complete separate thing, non-commercial. We are very much into biodiversity. We come from Copenhagen, the capital of Denmark. So what we're doing in collaboration with local hotels, for instance, is that we are taking parts of their land. Let's say a hotel has a unused plot in front of the hotel. So we help them plant with wildflowers to make sure that you have biodiversity in the city and you attract all kinds of insects and bees and so on. So we do the hygiene things that are having our house in order. And then and that's basically to make sure that also our customers know that what we are saying is also what we're doing. And then we have the actionable things that we are doing every day to basically inspire other companies on how you can do good without it being about profit only.
And so just go into that a little bit more. You talked about hygiene. And if I understand that, this is really to build consumer trust, is to, you know, demonstrate it's not just the intent here, but we are actually acting upon what we're saying we're doing. We're getting our house in order. So tell me more about this. You have the hygiene, now you have the inspire. What are you doing with the inspire?
What we do to inspire is, for instance, let's talk about how we make pencils. Whenever we cut down one tree, we can make 175,000 pieces of Sprout pencils from that one single tree, that's a lot of pencils. Mm-hmm. And of course, because the wood we're using is PEFC or FSC certified, we need to plant at least one or two new trees every time we cut down one tree. But when we make 175,000 sprout pencils from that one tree, we also potentially plant 175,000 new trees or plants from those pencils. So that alone is giving back a lot compared to what we take. But in addition to that, we a couple of years ago decided to acquire our own forest and just plant the trees, like I said before, and just let them grow, just to absorb CO2 in addition to everything else we are doing. Because right now, a lot of companies are talking about reducing CO2 in their value chain, for instance. And we are doing that also. Sorry, we had our CO2 reductions approved by the science-based targets last year, meaning we committed ourselves to reducing scope 1-2 within the next 6 or 7 years. And we also committed to being net zero in 2040. Now, a lot of companies are talking about being net zero in 2040 and 50 and so on. But I actually thought that, to me, that doesn't make sense. That's 16 years from now that we should be net zero. 16 years from now, I'll be in my 60s. I really can't wait that long. So what happened was that already within 1 year, we exceeded the targets from SBTi, and we have set a completely new net zero target to be net zero actually in the next 6 years by 2029, so way ahead of the previous target, right? But that's what a lot of companies are also doing. The next step is regenerating. Not just reducing or being net zero, but giving back much more than you take. And that's what we actually is doing with our sprout pencils, because when you buy a sprout pencil and then you plant it, you are actually part of regenerating, planting new basil or new sunflowers or whatever. So that, to me, is a great way of hopefully inspiring other companies.
Yeah, it's you know, it's kind of like the little engine that could, you know, it's just a little reminder or a little pencil that can make all the difference in kind of how we think about leaving the world far better than we found it, you know, leaving the campsite better than when you came in. So I've got here, you know, 50 million pencils sold. Of course, you get the farmland, I believe it's in Poland. You know, lots of innovation coming here. A question from now, the entrepreneurial mindset, what do you believe influences innovation?
That's a great question. I think what drives innovation is encountering problems that no one has really solved so far, and then trying to fix that problem. But innovation is also about taking things that are already being done and maybe tweaking them to improve further on that idea. But innovation is something that happens every day, everywhere, which is so fun. It happens in universities. It happens in companies when they let their employees loose and let them innovate. Because a lot of corporations have very tight, silos, teams. But if you really let the employees sit down in various teams and let go, and that's where beautiful ideas and innovation come up.
How would you describe maybe the environment for innovation? Like, how do you create an environment like that? Is that leadership? Is that dedicated time? Like, what does that look like to you? For anyone listening out there, it's like, you know what? Like, I haven't really thought about creating space for innovation with my team. What does that look like to you?
I can give you an example. Our patent is for writing instruments you can plant, which is quite broad. So initially, it was just the normal graphite pencil you can plant. But years ago, we sat down in the company, we sat around a table, all the employees, and we always, in Sprout World, we are about 75% women and 25% men. So we sat around this table and I asked them, so we have this patent, writing instruments you can plant. What other products could we imagine that is a writing instrument and you can plant? And after some time, actually, one of the female employees said, why don't we make makeup liners, eyeliners, brow liners, lip liners? And despite everything I've learned about brainstorming, where you always have to be positive, I told her that that was probably the worst idea I ever heard. Because how big is that market? I mean, how many eyeliners are people using? Well, she took her handbag from under the table, put it on the table, opened up, and she had four different eyeliner, brow liner, lip liner. And just to, I think, mock me, they all started to put up their handbags. And the one with the most had 10 different liners, and the one with the least had only 3. And then, of course, I had to give in and research a little bit. And that market is huge. It's billions of makeup liners being made every year. So I think it's a great example of innovation. Just throwing out the question and letting people come up with all kinds of good and bad ideas. And well, never to be negative or say no.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Optimism, right? Optimism being very, very important in those meetings. But I really like how the core purpose, the core, problem solving, intention of the company is really at the core of what you're doing, which is, these replantable, handheld, items. And then going from there, so that always it's in alignment with the North Star. You're not building a completely new company. You're just talking about the possibility of an eyeliner thing. Now, how about you? Like, where does that sit with you as owner with risk? I mean, obviously, if you go and take a big, lump sum of your cash to invest into these new products, I mean, that could really impact the employees' payroll. It can impact the farming, the trees. How do you assess that kind of risk?
It's that's very, very difficult. And I've made my share of mistakes with the products that I thought were great, but were completely not so great. I think what I've learned along the way and what we learned in the company is to stay focused. We have some patents, and as long as we stick to those patents and work within those patents, we work in a completely blue ocean, as opposed to trying to compete in a massive red ocean against products that are not protected. So I think the biggest thing that I've learned over the years is to focus on what you do best or on the things that you have certain advantages within.
Right. Yeah, really important. And do you have a type of management system that you found that's been favorable? Do you like OKRs, KPIs? Do you use rocks? Like, what's been a helpful management criteria or communication style that's been impactful for everyone on the team to focus?
I think it may sound strange, but in Sprout World, we are not really working with KPIs. I'm not a big fan of KPIs because I think it limits the innovation and the way you're working.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What I've learned along the way is that the team is everything. The management team that I have around me, sales, operations, marketing, finance, and so on, picking the right people. If you do that, then you can do basically anything. It's all about the people.
I love that, all about the people. You know, one of the core values that's very common among the impact companies we found is the number one core value is collaboration. Where have you seen collaboration show up in Sprout World?
Towards the outside world or inside?
Either or. I mean, it could be in a meeting and internally or maybe outside with partners.
I think collaborations are very important because as you build a company, you cannot do everything on your own or just because you have a great product. You need great partners to spread the word and to get it out there in the marketplace. And we have done tons of collaborations over the years, not only with other companies, but also with in terms of events or conferences and so on to make sure we spread the word. One fun example of that is that I'm not too fond of giving away my products. I don't know if it's because I'm stingy or what it is, but giving away is I need to see that there's a purpose, right? But years ago, from time to time, we give Sprout pencils to a conference, for instance. And years ago, we gave away a lot for a conference in Portugal, where former President Obama was the main speaker. So I thought, okay, that's he was a good president, so why not? Then thought nothing more of that until about 6 months later, we got an inquiry from a company in New York saying that they were representing all kinds of big names, and one of their clients wanted to use the Sprout pencils to promote a new project. And we saw the client list. It was Coldplay, it was Rihanna, it was Beyonce, and we were up here. Fantastic. Then a few weeks later, we were told by this agency that, by the way, guys, this is for an author. So we thought, that doesn't sound very Coldplay-like. Then we got the PO. And at the bottom of this purchase order is set for Michelle Obama's book tour. So she was actually using Sprout pencils on her book tour to give away and I think also to resell and so on. And she was saying, not to us, but she was saying at one point that it was about her growing the first kitchen garden at the White House, where she fell in love with herbs and so on. And that's why she fell in love with the Sprout idea. But somehow we think it went back to the her husband speaking at a conference, getting a Sprout pencil, bringing it home. And so I had to reconsider my idea of not giving away Sprout pencils from there. Now I'm a little bit more generous on that thing, because you never know who gets them in their hand.
Right. Well, it certainly makes for a great story. I mean, that's the story I'll go with. And of course, you know, Real Leaders Unite will be, you know, we'll have the Sprout pencil there, you know, for all the CEOs in our goodie bags, and great way to kind of communicate the impact and hopefully more opportunities to get those in the hands of real influencers in this world. Now I want to kind of bring this home around some leadership questions for you, Michael. If you had asked someone else, maybe on the team, how they describe your leadership style, what do you think they would say?
That's a funny question, because a few years ago at a job interview for a senior management position, I when hiring, it doesn't happen very often because they tend to stay long, fortunately, in the management team. But hiring for a senior manager, that person was asking the others in the interview. I always bring a few other senior managers when I hire one colleague for them. And that person was asking, so how would you describe Michael as a leader, as a owner and founder and so on? And it was all quiet. And then one of the other senior managers said, he's a bit lazy. and you could hear a needle drop in the room until they all started laughing, including me, because I knew exactly what he meant. And he explained to this new guy. He said, "Michael doesn't interfere too much. He prefers to let the management team work their own and basically." Only sets the strategy and is there to solve problems if there are any big problems that can't be solved within the teams. But other than that, I try to not be too much involved in the daily operations, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. And just out of curiosity, you know, the CEO position being in an isolated position, no one's technically above you in the company, although you may not see it that way. My question is, where do you go for like an outlet? Where do you go for help? Do you have any mentors? They could be investors, anyone that comes to mind that you go to for advice?
It's a great question because it really is very lonely when you are the CEO, and especially when you're the owner. You have no one to report to. So what I do is that, of course, in the daily life, I use my management team a lot to throw ideas at and discuss things. But there are a lot of things that I can't discuss with them, personal issues, for instance. So what I do is that I have a handful of very good and very, very old friends who are in a similar position. Meaning they also built companies and they have tried what I'm doing, because you can never ask people who didn't try to advise you what you should do in running a business. So having a few old friends that have tried that is a great, great help. And in addition to that, I use a business psychologist, I think you use the word shrink, but that's not a nice word.
A
business psychologist, and we're not talking about the daily life or running a business. But I use her to talk about the future. What is it I want in 5 years, in 10 years? How do I achieve it? How do I get there and stuff? So that's how I, of course, I talk to my family also. That's important.
That's powerful. I'd love to kind of learn about that exercise for myself and others, just to, because you know that's where the CEO is living, right? They're living in the future. They're 2 years, 3 years, 10 years down the road. They're not really, you know, in the day to day. Well, some of them might be, right, but ideally they're focusing on kind of the future. So, in all of this, maybe Michael, let's bring this home. In all of this, what is your definition of a real leader?
A leader as opposed to a manager is two very big different things. I think a leader needs to, in part, set by example. But for instance, I'm old school in the way that when I started working, it was all about staying late in the office. You came early, you stayed late, you always stayed until your boss had left, even though you're not busy. But that's just the way it was. So sometimes we were sitting there for 12, 14 hours, and that was not efficient at all. So for instance, what I do, first of all, we have, of course, working from home, like most have. So some work from home, some work in the office and so on. But I make sure that I'm never the first one in the office, for instance. I arrive around 9 a.m., which is most arrive between 8 and 9. And I'm never, never, ever the last one to leave. And why? Because I don't want people looking at me and thinking it's a good example to stay late, just to stay late. If you need to leave at 3 p.m. because you have to pick up your kids, you don't have to tell me. Just leave, go and pick up the kids. And I know that you will catch up maybe later that day after the kids are sleeping or the next day. But I trust you to do your work. And I think trust is the most important thing you can have as a leader. And it all comes back to you because it's about the people you're hiring, right? So don't hire people you don't trust. Makes no sense.
Well said. Well, Michael, thank you so much for coming on the program today. For Michael Stausholm, I'm Kevin Edwards, asking you to go out there, build trust, and always keep it real. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you.
Hey, Re-Leaders, thanks again for listening to this amazing episode. And if you're someone like me who goes all the way to the end just to make sure I can extract as much information, education, and inspiration out of every single interview, might I suggest you check out our magazine. If you go online to Re-Leaders.com today, you're going to get the first 30 days for free where you're going to be able to access all of our magazines, courses, and live events from some of the top thought leaders around the world. All you have to do is go online to realleaders.com and click the subscribe button in the top right corner to get your free 30-day trial right now. Again, that's real-leaders.com. Thanks again for being a Re-Leader, and always keep it real.